Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William, the Opinion Updike.
Oh, and I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks bringing you Locked On Clippers, well, 3 days a week right now.
3 days a week in the off season. We come out at 7 a.m. In the regular season, though, towards the end of this month, we will be back to 5 days a week, bringing you all that Clippers content you can handle.
That is correct. And kicking off the content today, look, we've been talking about Eric Bledsoe, sort of how he's going to fit into this offense and into the rotation. So we went ahead and put a poll out on Twitter about how people felt about a starting backcourt with Reggie and Bledsoe, or whether Bledsoe was best off the bench. So we're going to talk about that and just, you know, a little bit more about sort of how he can fit into the rotation. And then in segment two, we're talking the Pacific Division.
Oh, yeah. Back to Fridays.
Absolutely. But this week, we're going to be talking about the bench rankings. If you didn't listen last week, we talked about the starters, so go ahead and check that out. But there's some kind of interesting benches in the Pacific Division, so we can't wait to dive into that. And then in shavings, Patrick Patterson did sign a deal, unfortunately, now with the Clippers. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the groundbreaking ceremony for the new arena. And then since it's Friday, as we do every single Friday, we got a Love, Mary quarantine for you, which if you're unfamiliar, it's where we rank something arbitrarily related to the Clippers, and we're either loving it, we're marrying it, or we're quarantining it, which means get it the heck away from us. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so we went to Twitter to see how people felt about a Reggie Jackson and Eric Bledsoe backcourt, the options, because Will had the take, I think it was last week, that Bledsoe should start alongside Reggie. It doesn't have to really be an either or, we don't think, and with Ty Lue we'll probably see it at some points. But the poll over on at Locked On Clips was, should the Clippers start Reggie Jackson, Eric Bledsoe, or have one come off the bench? The options were start Reggie and Eric, Reggie off the bench, Bledsoe off the bench. This was more overwhelming than last week's poll when we asked what a successful season would be. 73% of voters, of the 500 people who voted, voted for Bledsoe off the bench. Reggie and Eric starting came in with a whopping 17%. And then the final very small percentage, just around 10%, was Reggie off the bench, which there were a couple takes about that, but I don't think either of us want that. Were you surprised at these results?
Yes and no. Look, like I've been saying, I do feel like people are pretty low on Bledsoe. I get it. You know, not necessarily an impressive season last year with the Pelicans. Mixed bag, especially in the playoffs there with the Bucks, and to see them, you know, the first year without him, go ahead and win the chip.
Right.
it doesn't necessarily like bode well for what his value is. I understand not wanting Reggie off the bench. That was, you know, clearly the least popular option. I agree. You know,
that was there for posterity. It's like we
talk about this. We talk about this all the time on this podcast, but Reggie was the majority point guard for last season, manning one of the most efficient offenses in the NBA. So there's no reason in my mind, unless things go horribly awry during the season, that he doesn't have, you know, starting guard duties.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little bit surprised how low people were on a tandem of Reggie and Eric.
Yeah, so I was kind of shocked by that too. A few people brought up that having both Reggie and Bledsoe out there could result in having too many ball handlers on the first unit, which is okay argument. So to me, I'm like, that argument kind of makes sense because like Paul George handles the ball quite a bit. We don't really know what that's going to look like this season. Obviously, if these two start, he's handling the ball a lot less, you would imagine. But I'm just surprised that it didn't get more than 17% of the vote. Like, it's not that bad of an idea.
Yeah, I mean, so my thing is, I've talked about this, I just feel like they can coexist. I'm not saying that it will happen, but I do think that they can coexist and they can complement each other's skill sets in sort of various ways. Look, the thing about too many ball handlers, yes, Paul George can handle the ball a little bit. In this lineup, Nick Batum would likely be moved to the bench, so that's one less ball handler that you have on that starting lineup. And Reggie, look, man, he works well with the ball in his hands or without. He's not really a facilitator. You know, he's like a 3-assist-per-game guy. Maybe that'll take a jump this year, but certainly having him off ball gives more space to Bledsoe. And, you know, Paul George can still, you know, run the offense any way he wants. But I get it. I get it.
I know. It's one of these things where it's like, I love Reggie Jackson. The playoffs is absolutely amazing. Obviously, if we get to that point, if we get to that level of play from Reggie, it's fantastic. And Bledsoe off the bench just makes the bench even that better. A couple people, the underscore Todd said, if they both start, then who is the point for the second unit? Seems to me they would be trusting a rookie, or am I forgetting someone?
His name is Luke Kennard.
I know. I'm like, Luke Kennard's getting a little forgotten, and this could be a potential point guard off the bench. Prince Yuki brought up, you know, why even mess with chemistry? He says the starting five is going to be Reggie, PG3, Batum, Mook, and Ibaka, which is, you know, Orser or Zoo. Like, no one's going to be mad at that lineup. One of the few Reggie on the bench voters, which was BC Do Good, said Reggie's scoring off the bench while always closing.
Ooh, I kind of, that's a spicy take. I like it.
It is a spicy take. I'm not sure. I think it would be kind of disrespectful to Reggie to have him not start based on what we saw last season.
I agree, but he's a team first guy. Yep. And I think if they think that's the best spot for him, you know, he's not going to, he's not going to throw a tantrum about it.
Yeah, exactly. We're not on a team. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
The issue with that is, like, we already know how bad defensively a backcourt that features Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard in it is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that we're going to gamble on that again. You know, maybe there's some hope that Terrence Mann could stabilize that a little bit. That's, to me, in my mind, asking him to do way too much.
It's a good call.
If we want to develop him on both ends of the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of got to, like you said, it's kind of the house money year. So Terrence Mann still does need to develop. So putting him in a position to succeed is crucial. I think Bledsoe off the bench is going to be purely for defensive capabilities. Like, we've kind of talked about how the bench, or we're going to talk about it in the next segment, how the bench has a chance to be pretty good defensively and not as big of a worry as it was in other times. But that Reggie and Luke pairing, it would be a disaster. Like, you know what I mean? Like, with Mann out there, like Luke, Reggie, Mann, and then, you know, Batum, and then Serge Zoo is like, defensively, there's only a couple of highs right there. And the backcourt's kind of getting cooked every time. So someone pointed out on Twitter that with Ty Lue staggering, that it doesn't matter who's starting between Bledsoe and Reggie. And I kind of agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely in agreement with that. I think that we will see, you know, if he's not in the starting lineup, Bledsoe most likely being the first guy off the bench. And I'm curious to see, especially like in those opening quarters, if we do end up going with a starting lineup that features both Batum and Morris in it, it'll be interesting to see how quickly a sub is made in that first quarter, because I think Winslow, right?
Like, Winslow's probably the first sub if Batum and Morris are starting, just for,
I don't think so.
Like,
I don't think so.
In age.
I don't think so.
Really?
He has the least utility. I think you want a player with a little bit more utility to be your sixth man.
Who's the first sub if Mook and Batum are starting?
I'm guessing that Batum gets staggered between starting and bench, quote-unquote, lineups more so than other starters.
No, but what I'm saying, what if Batum and Morris are both starting?
That's what I'm saying. Batum, in my mind, is likely the first sub out in that scenario.
But for who is what I'm asking?
I still think Bledsoe. I still think Bledsoe, you go maybe a little bit smaller.
And then you get a little bit of the taste of Reggie and Bledsoe. Like, you get kind of a nice, like, what's this look like in the middle of the first game? Like, yeah,
That's the lineup and rotation that makes the most sense in my brain as I'm sitting here Thursday, September 9th.
Right. It's going to be interesting. I'm really excited to see what Ty Lue does with this. I'm wondering if people are going to come around to the idea of Reggie and Bledsoe starting. There are some concerns, you know, maybe bench-wise, like offensively. But like we said, a lot of that kind of rests with Kennard and how much improvement, we don't even know what his role is going to look like. Like, really? Like, we didn't even really know last year. Let us know at Locked On Clips what you think. Thank you to everyone who voted. Coming up, we're talking Pactiv bench rankings. It's Pactiv Friday. It's our favorite day of the week. But first, Will, if I wanted to bet online, for the life of me, where could I do that?
Oh, it's right in the name. You got to check out betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's on top of your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. Now that I'm betting, where can I actually watch some of these dang games?
So if you want to watch your money turn into more money, you got to check out DirecTV. We've all been through this before. You know, you got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff, whatever your good stuff that you need a separate login for might be. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle. It's time to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. Brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite shows, movies, and sports all in one place. This means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Okay, so we're back and we're talking the Pacific Division. So this is kind of a come and go thing on this show.
Sometimes
we talk Pacific Division on Fridays, sometimes we don't. Look, things are heating up in the Pacific Division in a way that they haven't been hot in a long time. So we're both pretty excited right now to bring you Pacific Division news. Kicking things off today, we're going to talk about the bench rankings in the Pacific Division. So
is this the year that my take of the Pacific Division being the best team in the best one in basketball actually going to come true? There's four playoff teams.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it does. I hope all four make the playoffs.
I hope the Kings do. That'd be a fun time. Let's just run down the Clips bench real quick. Like, so let's say Bledsoe isn't starting, as the fans do not want, and Batum is. So we got Bledsoe, the Nard Dog, Terrence Mann, Winslow, and then some combination of Zoo and Serge. So Clippers fans, we all know how good that bench can be. It's going to be defensively. I think it's going to be great for a bench unit. I'm really looking forward to it. But let's talk about this Suns team, because I think they offer maybe, I mean, they're the hardest bench to go against in the Pacific Division. I don't think it's really that close.
Yeah.
For the Clippers. I think the Clippers are better, but you know what I'm talking about.
You think the Clippers bench is better than the Suns bench?
I think it can be. I think it kind of depends on Ty Lue and those first like 25 games, honestly.
So taking a look at this Suns bench, you got Campaign, who is could be a six man of the year candidate.
Absolutely.
This year.
He definitely
You got Landry Shamet also in that backcourt. Some questions if he can kind of return to form the way he was lighting it up, you know, earlier in his career. Oof. You got Cam Johnson, who actually impressed me through last year's playoff run. You know, he can hit threes. He is
at a really good clip. Like, it was weird in the playoffs that he stopped shooting.
Athletically, he is a beast. Like, he, you know, he's quick. He can defend. Now, it gets a little bit murkier in the front court. So Saric is out, I believe, until possibly like April. Like, you know, it's going to be deep.
And he's bad.
Well, they haven't found a position for him. Yeah.
Right. The nice way to say it, for sure.
So it's some combination at the 4 or 5 of like Kaminsky and JaVale, which is big. But I mean, that's the clearest deficiency sort of this bench lineup. Right. I mean, you got scoring there. You got shooting from 3 out of 5 positions. And, you know, defensively is the other drawback of this lineup. You're not getting a whole lot on that end from, you know, Payne or Shamet. So
you're getting that, pretty hard net negatives on those two dudes.
That could set them back, you know. I mean Cam Johnson does help to stabilize things a little bit, and offensively they have it pretty well figured out. So it's definitely up there with the hardest bench lineups in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, let's go descending order. We got Suns as the hardest. Who do you have as second most annoying to play against? I feel like annoying is a good word for bench lineups.
Um, Man, look, the Lakers got some names on this second unit.
No, I'm putting them dead. All right, what's your? I was gonna say the Warriors. What's your Lakers pick? They do have names. You are correct on that.
They got some names at the guard position off the bench. They got either Kendrick Nunn or, of course, Rondo. Look, I'm not really a big fan of either one of these players, but you kind of have some versatility at the guard between like a score first guard and a more sort of old school style point guard, defer first kind of guard. Mm-hmm. You got Wesley Matthews, who can kind of be a swing man there. He's been struggling a lot since leaving Dallas, but he can kind of space the floor, which helps with the Nunn and Rondo thing. Right. Well, Nunn can shoot from three a little bit. But Wesley Matthews, I mean, he's been about to a little bit worse than a replacement level player for the last couple of years.
He'll go streaky on you. Like he'll have a crazy night, but then yeah, it'll be a little non-existent.
And then you got Kent Bazemore, who, you know, okay shooter, has health concerns, which is a recurring theme with all the Lakers lineups.
yes.
If he's like not, he's kind of small. He's undersized. I would say that he's going to have a lot of trouble guarding dynamic forwards in the Western Conference. I think that that's going to be difficult with his size and age. You got Carmelo Anthony out there. This to me is one of those things that, like, I think some people are higher on this than maybe I am. I think it depends on how he factors into their offense. Like if they're using him as sort of the way that Portland did, where like you just have a little space out there, it's not really a whole lot necessarily being run through him.
Yeah.
I think that that's how he's going to be most effective. If he wants to, or because of his relationship, like with LeBron and other, you know, vet players who respect him, if he has like a more highly featured role in that offense, I think that that could end up being problematic. And obviously, I mean, he's a hole defensively. He was better last season. That last season was his first season in like four or five seasons where he didn't have a negative defensive rating to his offensive rating.
Nice. But
I mean, he's essentially been a replacement level player for the last four seasons. And you know, that is what it is. That's his sort of, that's where he's at in his career. And then looking at the five, you got Dwight Howard, who is annoying as hell to play, solid defensively. You got DeAndre Jordan, which depending on the level of, you know, buy-in that you're getting from him, depending on the level of effort, you know, could be a real, I mean, at this point in his career, could be a beast on the bench.
I think they're the worst bench in the Pacific Division, and someone can chop this up and put it up later when they have a really good bench. But like right now, it's just like minutes load. Like how much is this bench going to have to play? Like they have an old team, like they're going to need some rest, and they don't have anyone young on the bench really. Like defensively, they're probably going to be good. Vogel's a really good defensive coach. We can't pretend that he's not. Like even without AD and LeBron, they were still running a top five defensive rated team. So the defense will be good. I'm curious about the offense for the Lakers bench, and I'm just curious about health. Like, if Dwight or DeAndre goes down, it's just like, then they're in this weird no man's land.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, we talked about this kind of last week, too, with the starters. I mean, it's hard for me to differentiate between this team and the Warriors team. I mean, you could make an argument to me either way that one is better than the other. And I think we'll just have to wait and see how it all ends up playing out, because you know, we haven't seen this Warriors team in this iteration in a few years now. And this Lakers team, I mean, this, you know, who knows? I don't know how this whole thing is going to play out. You know, they have the names.
SEO wise, they're crushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of hits.
Speaking of the Warriors, who I think actually might be the second most difficult / annoying one to go against, I think that their youth movement on the bench has potentially to be real dangerous. They got Moses Moody, who's everyone is really hyped on, who Kendrick Perkins can't say. Wiseman might end up taking a leap since he's not like starting or in this, you know, the Warriors have their lineup, quote unquote, back, right? They have their big three back. Like they have Wiggins, they have Looney in that starting lineup. Kuminga's a bit of a meme, but he looked good in summer league. Like Jordan Poole's an LK contributor.
Jordan Poole, I like two seasons ago, I thought that he was like fun to watch, exciting player. I'm curious to see how things work out with like Wiseman and Looney and how they end up sort of distributing those minutes because they're both interesting to me at the five. I thought the like adding Otto Porter Jr. is pretty solid for a bench guy if he can stay healthy. And they got Iggy back, which is kind of an under the radar, an under the radar move, which, you know, it's definitely on the tail end of his career, but they know how to use him and he does work for sure. In the system.
And he's going to want to play. Like Kerr's great at rotations. He's been under Kerr. Like they have potential to be a really annoying bench.
I'm with you. I could see this being better than a Lakers bench. Like I said, these things are like these two are like pretty neck and neck to me.
And then the Kings, I don't really know.
What's going on with the Kings?
The biggest issue with the Kings is their horrible coach. That is the big, every time we talk about the Kings, I just come back to the fact that Luke Walton is the one coaching them. So depending what happens with Halliburton and Hield, their bench could be like pretty good. Drafting Davion Mitchell is really going to help their defense. Like people forget that he's a problem. But like he's going to be annoying to go up against every single night. Mo Harkless, also good defensively, not good offensively. They swapped out Hassan Whiteside for Tristan Thompson, which is kind of a funny trade. But it's just kind of a lot of weird turnover. Like I think defensively it'll be better than last season. They were bad defensively and rebounding last season, but it could be just one of the more like, this is the kind of bench that you need if you're really trying to be a fringe playoff team, which the Kings are. I'm just wondering how much Luke Walton gets in the way with the rotations.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you're looking at some sort of backcourt with Davion Mitchell and Tyrese Halliburton and it's working out, I mean, I got to be honest, I could see that bench as being a problem, especially when you have, you know, a couple
people forget.
especially when you have a couple of vets like, you know, Mo Harkless and someone like Tristan Thompson, who, you know, isn't that great defensively. But Mo Harkless, I mean, he can provide a lot on that floor. And I think that he would be an annoying sort of an annoying guy to have to face on the defensive end of the floor.
We got to figure out a metric how to calculate bench annoyingness for teams. Because I think that is what people should be thinking about when they think about playing another team. So how are you ranking these real quick? I got the Clippers at one. I'm going Suns 2, Warriors, Kings, Lakers.
all right. I'm going to go Suns at one. I think I'll go Clippers 2. And they could bump up to one. There's just so many unknown quantities still about how we're going to be running these sort of rotations.
It's totally fair.
there's a lot of questions. It's like kind of neck and neck to me between the Lakers and the Warriors. You know what? You talked me into it. I'll go Warriors 3, Lakers 4. Kings, I got to see it. I'm sorry.
That's Kings totally fans. Fair.
I'm sorry, Kings. I love the Kings. They're our sister city, our sister team.
They are sister city?
But I gotta see it before
tomato.
I can believe it.
For sure. I mean, that's totally fair. That's kind of how it is with a couple of these benches. Like all these benches are new, right? Like except for the Suns, the Pacific Division has a bunch of kind of new benches. We'll be keeping you updated on all the Pacific Division scuttlebutt as the season goes on. Coming up, we're going to be talking Patrick Patterson going to greener pastures, actually not greener pastures, and then talking some opening night festivities. But first, Will, if I needed my car fixed, where on earth could I buy this headlamp that I need? Headlight, excuse me. I know a lot about cars.
If you are going to fix your car yourself, you need parts. And that's why this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With all the increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Let me hit you with a quick example. Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. Cool $216 from Rock Auto.
Not bad.
It's not bad at all. Rock Auto is also a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. As always, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Now that my car's fixed, how can I tune up the old bod?
Well, you gotta check out Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the better tasting protein bars out there. They have it's fantastic. They have so many delicious flavors. They have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, strawberry, salted caramel, orange, German chocolate, and cookies and cream. I've been kind of partial to strawberry lately. Just a little fun, you know, a little something different.
Raspberry man over here.
Dude, someone on Twitter was real mad about how you say raspberry. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the flavors. So that's kind of fun. You can switch it up, maybe prep your meals for your mood or something like that. Built Bars not only taste fantastic, they're healthy too. They have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180. Only 4 to 5 grams sugar and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Right now, go to built.com and use promo code locked on. You'll get 15% off your next order. One more time, use promo code locked on for 15% off at built.com.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. And of course, it's Friday. We'll have a classic Love, Mary quarantine for you. But first, let's wrap things up around the Clippers and the league. Patrick Patterson signed to a training camp deal with the Blazers.
Yeah, good for Patrick Patterson. Hope he gets some run, you know.
It's interesting. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I don't know what the nearest Golden Corral is, but I hope they have one, and I hope he gets to enjoy it. Hope Patrick Patterson does well. Do you think Boogie's going to land anywhere, or is he just going to be kind of a...
I'm actually kind of surprised because, you know, the Clippers, unfortunately, due to some injury issues, you know what I'm talking about, they had to put him in a role where he was the usage was higher than really what you're gonna get an effective Boogie at. Right. But he still did have that one game where he kind of stood out.
He destroyed Saric for a couple of possessions.
Yeah So I don't know, I guess I'm a little bit surprised that nobody's gonna take a flyer on him, especially because look, I had always kind of there was always sort of an association with him, I feel like, around the league and amongst fans that like maybe he wasn't that good of a locker room guy.
He was one of the generals in the army of Paul George.
Yeah, and I feel the exact opposite about that now. For sure. I feel like if you have an open spot, I mean, you know, why not take a flyer on him? I think it's an interesting ad, and in a limited role, I mean, he could be pretty effective. You know, he can pass the ball. You know, he can shoot a little bit, post up. Just can't really play defense.
Yeah. Who needs that in today's NBA? Moving on, the Clippers announced that they're holding the groundbreaking ceremony for the new arena on September 17th. In their release, they say the arena is scheduled to open for the 24-25 NBA season. The groundbreaking ceremony will be attended by Ballmer, PG, and Kawhi, included in the Clippers players. We don't know who else is going to be there. Ty Lue, Julian Zucker, and Inglewood Mayor James T. Butts. James Butts. It's going to be 18,500 for capacity, 500 less than Staples. Seems good. Be loud. I mean, I don't know. After seeing whatever the hell the Clippers schedule is, I'm so excited for 24-25.
Are we surprised that they went with a capacity that's like nearly Staples size? Instead of like,
you think they would have gone bigger?
No, I think it'd be interesting to go maybe like 15,000 people.
Dude, you know how I feel about this. I think professional sports stadiums should be like 10,000 people. So it's just insanity in there.
Get the crowd a little bit closer to the action. You know,
yeah.
This will be like a purpose designed stadium, which will be kind of nice versus sort of like multi-purpose, multi-use nature of Staples Center and really a lot of basketball arenas. So I think that it's interesting. I bet that they've worked on ways to like optimize the sound I'm going to say that there's home side of the stadium.
Every arena, anytime fans are like, we're technically the loudest fans. It's like, well, the stadium was designed to do that for you. It's not you. I mean, it kind of is, but stadium's doing a lot of work too.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That brings us to our Love, Mary quarantine. On the glorious night that will be September 17th, we're talking maybe opening night festivities for the Clippers Arena in 2024. We're going to pick one of these to love, pick one of these to marry, and pick one of these to just stay in the room by itself. The first option is try and dunk on Zoo Carnival Game. Zoo is posted up underneath an adjustable hoop, and he asks passersby if they think they can dunk on him. This is very DIY. This is just him. He put the hoop together himself. He's out there. If you do dunk on him, you get a free Chuck the Condor jersey. And if you don't, you are asked to leave the premises.
Okay.
What else we got?
Well, my other one had to do with worms. So I'm going to nix it. I'm going to say grab the spaghettis, which is just a competition. If you can grab as much saucy spaghetti in one
it's
hand.
Sauce?
Yeah. Right. If you can grab as much saucy spaghetti in one hand as Kawhi Leonard.
So you weigh it afterwards. You grab it and then you put on a scale and see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a one hand grab. You know, you can invent whatever sort of technique you want, but you have to try and match Kawhi's output.
Is Kawhi there, or is it just a picture? Is it like a graphic of his hand with like meatballs and stuff? That's like, this is how much Kawhi, like a science center type thing.
It's a science center type thing. And no, Kawhi is not available on the night of. He's booked, right. But they do get the spicy spaghettister, Corey Maggette, in there to.
That's a good call. That's a good call. Final option, gingham sack race. This is like a potato sack race, but you're using Ballmer's gingham shirts. Also, Ballmer is racing, and he is really fast due to being way too into it, a la him cheering with his friends on the sideline, or just kind of general miss. Which of these are you loving, Marion and quarantining?
I'm loving gingham sack race.
That's a fun time.
What is going on with like the proliferation of sack races as depicted in media right now? I feel like there's a bunch of shows that have
it's really cheap.
A potato sack race, which yeah. is
potatoes.
I guess it's a universal experience. I don't know. I really don't know. I've seen it in multiple shows recently. I don't know what's going on with that. But I digress.
What are you marrying?
I'm marrying grab the spaghettis.
It's a good time. That's a good time.
It's also, it's a fun time. You know, it's fun for kids, fun for adults.
Fun for old people.
I am going to quarantine, try and dunk on Zoo, but only for this reason. I like where his heart's at. I like the idea of Zoo kind of bootstrapping, doing this himself. Man, people just get way too weird and competitive in one-on-one things, and
right.
I'm imagining someone against Zoo, and like clearly he's the superior athlete, but like
right
I don't
they've had
I
a just, few too many or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to see that
Zoo punches somebody's head off their shoulders. No, that's a good list. I'm also actually going to quarantine the Zubots idea. I love the idea of him going out there, building the hoop by himself, being frustrated, muttering, and then just taking all that aggression out on people trying to dunk on him. But, you know, I think there's an injury situation. I think if we reversed it where it's, could you block a Zubot?
Could you block a dunk? Yeah, I think that's...
I think that's in play. I'm marrying both the worms and the gingham sack race.
The worms or the spaghettis?
The spaghetti and the gingham sack race. That seems like a good time. The spaghetti's funny just because, like, I'm just picturing the infographic of how much spaghetti Kawhi Leonard can hold. It seems like a lot of spaghetti. And I'm also picturing someone getting way too mad about being like, fuck. And then the gingham sack race, I think, is fun because, you know, Ballmer has a bunch of money and a bunch of gingham shirts. He can afford it. And why not have some connection with... When's the last time you think Ballmer did a potato sack race?
Oh, probably in his Microsoft years. That was definitely
team building.
That was definitely something that was done in a team building right. exercise for sure.
100%. Also, you know, hey, happy Ballmer's using all of the many, many dollars he has to build this arena so taxpayers don't. Still could be doing a little bit more with it, as we know. Monday's episode, that about wraps it up for this Friday episode. We hope everyone has a wonderful Friday and a great weekend and a safe weekend too.
Don't get arrested.
Please do not. Please don't. Monday's episode, freshies talking new schemes. Maybe Harry Giles or Giles can actually contribute with his court vision. Who knows? Maybe some new arena talking. There's some negatives to the new arena, which we might get into, but might save that for a longer episode. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these fantastic people listen to our show?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Basically, you can listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. However, if you wanted to help us out, you can leave a rating or review 5 stars over at iTunes or on the podcast app. And yeah, as we mentioned up top, we're coming at you 3 days a week right now, but at the end of the month, we will be ramping back up to 5. We cannot wait to bring you this news, and we hope to have you listen.
We absolutely do. We got a couple of nice reviews, actually. Matt Hoops 23 said that we rock the best LA Clippers discussion, info and speculations. That's a good time. T-Dog Tonic, fantastic IG's name. Ooh. Enjoys the Love, Mary Quarantine, which we love, and the Luke Kennard Progress Report, which will be back.
It will be coming back.
And don't forget about Vorp Watch coming this season for Justice Winslow.
If you love the Luke Kennard Progress, <You'll>, wait till you see Vorp Watch.
This is just our horrible pilot season. Anyway, we thank y'all so much. I have been positive Chuck Locklear.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.
Oh, shit. I'm still recording.